this was on a Saturday night, the Lord woke me up and just speaking this scripture into my heart out of Psalm 81:10. And, you know, pretty much what he woke me up saying was, open wide your mouth and let me fill it. I mean, just in those words, open wide your mouth. So I knew this was an encounter with God. I mean, he'll wake me up at night and it's like, get up and meet with me. And, you know, I've had a lot of trouble sleeping, you know, in my last few years. And took medicine trying to sleep all night and fought that thing, just fought it left and right. And then one day the Lord said, you're missing an encounter with me. You're trying to sleep through it. You know, and I mean, I'm not saying that for everybody, but that's pretty much what he said to me. So I'm not trying to fight that. When it happens, when I wake up, I want to catch the moment. I want to spend that time with him. Because I'm going to tell you, there's some treasure. There's some treasure time when it's just you and God. And anyway, so he says, open wide your mouth and let me fill it. And I get up out of bed, and I'm like, first thing I do is I look up that scripture and find it in Psalm 81. And it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. The Lord has come to bring us out of captivity. That's what he came to set us free. Jesus left the throne in glory, come down to this earth, so that we could be free, so that we could be reunited with the Father. Because sin was in this world, and Jesus left that throne for us to be one with him. And this scripture is referring to the children of Israel, but it's talking about us. And he had set them free. They were in the land of Egypt. They were in bondage. And the Lord sent a deliverer, and he brought them out and brought them to freedom. But he wanted them to know when they were going into this new land, you open wide your mouth and you let me fill it. You let me be the one that provides. You let me be the one that you seek. You let me be the one. Because you're going to go into these lands, and they're going to have all kinds of stuff. They're going to have things that's going to look appealing to your eyes. They're going to serve other gods. They're going to go after other things. And I'm telling you, you open wide your mouth and you let me fill it. Don't go after the things that look appealing over there. But you stay and you keep your eyes and you keep your focus on me. So that's what he was telling them. And time after time again, we know anybody, you know, that's read in the Old Testament, they left the bondage. They would go into the land and they would fall into sin. Well, then, now here we are. Jesus has come. Jesus has come to the earth to reunite us to the Father. There's a better way. There's a new way. There's a new covenant. And his name is Jesus. And that's what he wants. He desires to have that relationship with us, because it's that relationship that changes us. It's that relationship. It's his blood that sets us free. It's his stripes that heal our body. It is what he did that brings about our freedom. But there's something we've got to do. And, you know, he says, seek me and you will find me. Seek me and you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. And too many times we get our eyes on other things, and we get our minds on other things, and we get thrown to and fro in our thought life. The enemy attacks our thoughts. He may not attack y'all's, but he attacks my thoughts. And it's something that I have to be very intentional about. Seeking the Lord and looking, gazing in his eyes, getting my gaze back. I'm going to try to go down this. In the past, we have turned to other sources for satisfaction, have received insufficient satisfaction. Is that anybody here? We've turned to other sources to get that satisfaction when only he can give it. our Father's desire is for us to encounter Him, for us to fellowship with Him. He has prepared a table for us to come and dine. And He is saying for us to come and eat what is good. What I give you will give you life. And to do that, we've got to let Him speak to us. We've got to seek Him, and we've got to get in His Word. Get in His Word. And He wants to commune with you. He wants to commune with you. It's a relationship that somebody else is not between you and God. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I don't know who in here knows Him, who's made that decision, but tonight I want there to be an invitation. I want you to know your Father is inviting you to come. He is saying, come, come. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, have everlasting life. We're going to read a little bit more about that tonight, but just know that that invitation is for you. That invitation is for you. John 6:35, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. And then in Matthew 4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then in Revelation 3, and this is all the invitation. This is the invitation that he's given. He's saying, come and eat what I have to feed you. I have life. Don't listen to what the world's trying to feed you, because it leads to death. I have life, and he wants us to get a hold of that truth. In Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my words, to hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come in to you, and I will feast with you, and you will feast with me. And to the one who conquers, I will give the privilege of sitting on my throne, just as I conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The world needs to see Jesus in His fullness in our lives. He is inviting us to partake His goodness. He wants to fill us up with His Holy Spirit. He wants us to pour out Him to the world. He wants to, you know, he told that woman at the well, he said, you come drink, you drink the water that I give you, and it will be a well springing up inside of you, everlasting life. It will be a well springing up. And just picture that right there. You're walking down the road, and just picture a well of life springing up out of you. And everyone, you know, in Ezekiel, it talks about the river. It talks about the river that's flowing down. And everything it touches, it heals. Everything that river touches, it brings life. It brings life to everything it touches. And did you know, y'all, when the Holy Spirit comes, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us, did you know that river is there. That river is there, and He wants that river to just flood out of us and bring life to everyone that we come in contact with. He hasn't saved us to be an island. He hasn't saved us to not have impact and have influence on the people around us. And you think, well, I don't have a platform to speak to people. You know, I mean, I'm sitting at a computer all day on my job. I'm on the phone a lot. But you know, we can show the love of Jesus. We can show kindness everywhere we go. We can show. There's just something different. There's just something different when that person on the other end of the line, they don't hear irritation, but they hear a kind and soft and gentle, they when they can hear love on the other end of that phone. People can hear it. People know it. People know when we're irritated. People know when we're toting around the wrong baggage, when we've been eating the wrong food. Okay? When we've been eating the wrong food, and we've been feeding our minds on the wrong things, that's what comes out. That's what's eventually going to come out. What we're eating, and I'm not just trying to look at y'all. That's not just for y'all, but what we are eating spiritually, what we are feeding our minds with, if we're glued to that TV, there's some junk on that TV. I'm saying there is some junk on that TV. Watch, guard what you put in your mind. Guard what you fill your mind with. You know, if the enemy's telling you to go there, and I wasn't even going to go here. If the enemy's telling you to go there, don't go. Don't listen to him. He's saying, yeah, watch this, it's okay. And you know it's not. You feel that check in your spirit. You know what's pleasing to the Father. You know. And I'm just saying, it's dangerous going into our minds. There's not room for two entities inside of us. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let him have full reign. I'm saying, let him have full reign. Do you know, the more... You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more we put him in, the more we intake his Word, the more we fill up. See, I have worship music going all the time. You know, or I have a podcast going. I'm listening to a sermon. I've got to have it. I don't know how anybody lives without it. I've got to have the Word of God going in. I've got to have it. I want it. It is a dire necessity. And when we realize what a dire necessity is, then we're gonna run to it. We're gonna run to it. Because only he can satisfy. Only he can satisfy. There's nothing in this world today. But he loves you. He will never. He will never say. He'll walk with you every step of that hard walk, every step of that good walk. I mean, he is with us. He just longs for relationship. He longs for relationship. He longs for us to desire his presence as much as he desires ours. I'm telling you, he desires. So, love you. I'll read out of my small realize tonight that a large. I'm going to read in Hebrews 12, starting verse. It says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin that we so easily fall into. Read that again. We must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Every sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path that has already been marked out, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was so focused, it was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Did y'all see that? It says, because his heart was so focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. That's the Passion Translation. He endured the cross, despising its shame. This is King James. He, what he went through, he had us in mind. He, what kept him on that cross, and what kept him from just destroying the people that were spitting on him. I mean, can you imagine that, having all power, and you got these people, you have left your throne on high. You know, it wasn't like he needed somebody to serve him. That wasn't why he created man. It wasn't because he needed somebody. So there were people serving him around the throne day and night. I mean, this has been going on way before our world was created. But he chose, I'm going to create a world. I'm going to create these people. And he created these people, and these people sinned against him. These people did exactly what God told him, commanded them not to do. You know, one day they were walking, you know, Adam walked with God. You know, they were walking along, but then one day Adam fell to sin. But my point is, it wasn't that, I've got to create some people that can just serve me, can just worship me. But he created some people because he wanted some people to love him. He wanted to have fellowship with people. He wanted it to be their choice. He didn't want it to be, hey, I'm going to create you and I'm going to make you serve me. But he said, I want a people unto myself. I want a people that want me. Can you imagine that? He wants a people that wants him. And that's why he created us. And that's why Jesus, he didn't just do away with the world. And he said, no, I've got a way. He knew before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. The Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God knew what was going to happen. He knew man was going to fail. He knew that we were going to fail miserably every day. He knew that. But he loved us. He loves us anyway. He loves us. And he said, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son. And Jesus went through every type of rejection known to man. He went through it. He was rejected. You feel? I mean, I don't know if anybody in here has ever felt rejection. It hurts. It hurts. Jesus knows more than we do. He knows what that rejection feels like. And he came and he said, I'll go. And these very ones that are throwing stuff at him, that are mocking him, that are making fun of him, was the joy that was set before him that caused him to endure that. He looked out. It was the joy, and the joy was of knowing that, you know what? I'm going to turn to them. I'm going to give them every opportunity. They're going to turn to me, and I'm going to save them, and I'm going to heal them. I'm going to turn. So he hung for our sins. It doesn't matter how far you think you've gone. You've not gone. You've not. You haven't turned and accept Jesus. Today's the day. His heart was so focused on the joy, knowing that you would be. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. Now he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't be worn down and cave in under life's pressure. After all, you have not yet reached the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children when he said, my child, do not underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord, or get depressed when he has to correct you. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of His faithful love. When we feel conviction, when we blown it, when we messed up, and we feel conviction, that's evidence that we're His. That's evidence that when He draws you to Himself, it proves that you are His delightful child. The verse where it's talking about look away, the natural realm. There are things that the enemy will keep us, try to keep us bogged down, and he'll try to keep us in a pit or try to take us to a pit, try to take us to an island by causing us to look what's behind, by looking at the natural realm, by looking at, oh, that situation looks so hopeless. That looks so hopeless. He wants us to just fall in and cave in under the hopelessness of it all. But He's saying to remedy that, to fasten our gates on Jesus, to look to Jesus. Anytime, I know in my life, anytime that I look at what's ahead, and it seems like the longer that I'm in this walk, man, the mountains get bigger. You know, there are times it seems like, oh Lord, the mountains seem to be getting bigger. But you know, I really believe that He's entrusting us with more. I believe what He's wanting us to do is speak to that mountain. And I think He'll give us a bigger mountain that He wants us to speak to and cast into the sea, because victory is ours. Victory belongs to the child of God. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So when you see a mountain, it's not unusual. You know, there's scripture in the Bible that says, don't think it a strange thing when you go through these fiery trials. Don't think, it's not a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. You're not alone. You're not the only one going through something. But it's a normal thing. But it's who are we going to turn to, and who are we going to run to, and who are we going to trust, and who are we going to give it to completely. I have felt so overwhelmed. I mean, there's just been like a cloud. Anybody ever felt just a cloud of despair just hovering over your head? And it's like, it's like the enemy tries to throw a blanket over there. And I've heard the voice of the Father, because He says, my sheep hear my voice. So when you hear the voice of the Father saying anything that's in opposition to that cloud, you listen and you do what He says. But, you know, the Word says, in Psalms, that He inhabits the praise of His people. You know, and I've shared this before, but that verse, I mean, it's like one particular time that I just had this cloud just looming over me, and just feelings of hopelessness. And the Lord spoke, and He said, praise me. He reminded me of that verse of Scripture. And He will. He will bring Scripture to your mind. Get the Word in your heart. Because He will bring that Scripture to your mind. And we've got to deposit it. We've got to make those deposits so that Holy Spirit's got something to draw from, because we've been in that Word. And that's not religion. You know, I know people, well, don't be religion. That's not religion. That is life. This Word of God is life. And we desperately need intake to get this Word in us. And, you know, and I hear people talk about, well, reading out of discipline. You know, if it's discipline to you, there have been periods in my life that I have, done the read through the Bible thing. And, yes, it was discipline to get in there and read all those chapters in a day, because that's a lot of reading. That's a lot of reading. And it was discipline, and it was hard to get through, you know, the begat. But if you look, the Lord's got a message in those begats. I mean, if we'll look at it, because the next year I would get back to the same begats, and it's like, oh, I see something. I didn't see when I read this before, you know. But I'm saying even when we're doing something out of discipline, the Lord will speak to you. But I'm saying get in the Word and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to know you. I'm saying read the book to know him. Don't read the book to say I've read the book. Read the book to know him. Okay? But anyway, back to my cloud moment. I'm just under this cloud, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, praise me. Just praise me. Just start praising me. So I did. It's like, I remembered that scripture. That scripture came up in my spirit. So I just started praising him. I just started singing. And y'all, man, the cloud was gone just like that. Cloud was gone because what I was singing, I meant what I was singing. I meant what I was singing. I started praising my God, and he inhabits. There's something about when his people start praising him, he comes and sits down. He comes and sits down right in the middle of it. Throne and all. He comes and sits down right in the middle of it. So I sing and praise him. Praise him. People hear me singing all the time, and I know they get tired of it. They're just going to have to get tired of it. Because I've just got it. That is why you just carry him. You just carry him with you. As you're singing. He always shows up. He always shows up. So, remember. I mean, just different things to remember. Fixing our gaze. Turning away from the natural realm. What's really there. That looks so natural and we can see it, but the greater reality, even though we can see it, the greater reality is who we serve. The greater reality is up in here, up in the heavenly realm. And when we look and we fix our eyes on the one that came to save us, we fix our eyes on the one that came to heal us, we fix our eyes on the one that says you can speak to that mountain. If you believe, and you speak to that mountain, and you tell that mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea and not doubt in your heart, it'll be done. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said that we have within us to do. Not within us, but it's the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is he. That dark, looming shadow ain't got nothing on our Jesus. He ain't got nothing on our Jesus. There's nothing for us to fear right there. Because we've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. And he overcame him. He is defeated. He'll make you think. Oh, he'll come. I mean, he'll make you think that he'll make you doubt. He won't make you doubt. But he will tempt you to doubt. Stand up. Fix your eyes. Fix your gaze back unto Jesus. It says, looking, fasten your gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us, and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Like King James says, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay. So, you may be going through the biggest battle of your life right now. The Lord is saying to you, don't look at your Bible. Fix your eyes on the solution. His name is Jesus. He is the author and the finisher. When you open wide your mouth and let him fill it, understanding comes. Answers to problems come. Directions come. When we open wide our mouth, and we let him fill whatever we're wanting, whatever we're needing to know. I'll be on my job, and I'll run into something that really is stretching my, you know, okay, this is outside of my zone. I don't know how to do this. I've started asking the Lord. I'm asking God, show me how to do this. And you know what? He's doing it. He's doing it. He is sending that answer. You know, I'll be praying, and then all of a sudden, understanding will come. Or it's like he'll drop in my spirit where I need to look, find it. And I'll look, and there it is. There it is. I'm saying he is that real. His presence is that real. And yes, he cares. He cares. You know, he cares if we do our jobs right. He cares about he cares about everything. Every hair on our head is numbered. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows before we even think them, before a word is even on our tongue, he knows it. He wants interaction with us. I can't say that enough. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, gives liberally. But let him ask in faith. Father wants us to ask him for all that we need. Everything that we need. Back to verse 2, where it says, talking about faith, action. Jesus, while hanging on that cross, was the joy of knowing that you would be his. The invitation is being given. Anyone hasn't said this. So this altar is open. I've got one more passage that I'm going to read. And I don't know what time I may be. Not done. Anybody have anything to say? Anything to say?
You were just, faith is something that we have to grow. We get it, salvation, but we have to steward it. We have to grow it. Bill Johnson said this amazing statement about faith, that revelation that he gets. It's amazing. But he said, faith is God's personal confidence that he gives to us. So it's his personal confidence that he gives to us, which, so we have to come into the revelation that he's our dada, he's our papa, that he's our abba. You have to get to know your daddy for you to know his personal confidence that he has to give to you. It's his confidence and he wants to give it to you. That's your faith. But you have to grow in who he is. You have to know who he is. You have to learn who his son is because his son showed us who he is. You have to get in the word to grow to find out who your daddy is. So you can find out how much he loves you. So that you can find out confidence he has to give you. And that's growing your faith. That's, I don't know, that's done a lot for me. And we need to work to what we want to get out. I mean, knowing who your daddy is and how much he loves you is the greatest thing you'll ever experience in your life. Ever. Ever. Because once you realize that, then you realize nothing else. Nothing. He wants to give you the world. You have to know who he is, and you have to know how much he loves you, because if you know how much he loves you, then you'll do anything for him. Then he changes all the desires in your heart. And all that changes, and then your life changes. And that's... No, it's his love for us that, you know, I was thinking last night, for people that don't know what love is, then they just don't know who he is. Because if you know who he is, then you know what love is. So he's the answer. Son gave us access to him, so.
Talking about God's nature. He created us. He wants to be with us. God's nature is love. He created us. Yes, he wants us to love. That's part of the picture. He created us because he needs an outlet for who he is. He is a God of love. I need somebody to love. I want to create a people that I can love them. Yes, I want them to love me in return. But you look at everything that happened in the Bible, it's regardless of us, and it's all about him. It's love. No matter what our reaction is, loves us, continually loves us, it doesn't matter. He is a God of love. His nature is love. We were created for him to love us. And in that, we were created to love him. That's how it works. It's this it builds upon. And I was thinking when you were talking about moving mountains, it's going to be bigger. And Paul's just talking about our understanding of who God is. I always, it came to my mind about dredging a river. If you look right now, they're working on, and they may be done with it now, they're expanding the Panama Canal. It's actually a second one. It's a wider Panama Canal. It's to allow these super cargo ships to come through. They've been confined to the Pacific Ocean because they can only go from China to, you know, the California coast and everything. They need to get them around to the other side. Well, obviously, they always come through the Panama Canal. Well, these super ships, too big, go through the canal. So they're building another one. What that has caused, I'm going somewhere, what that's caused to happen is all these ports on the East Coast are not equipped to handle that volume of ships. So they're dredging them out. I mean, it's a big thing down in Savannah. They were dredging the Savannah River, and they had all this money that had to go to making it deeper and wider. Reading our Bible, talking to God, moving those small mountains, we're continually dredging that river so that we can accept larger, bigger, and greater things from God. We must continue it. But if we stop dredging, it fills back up. So we must continually do that. You must continually be in the Word, continually be worshiping, continually contending for our faith so that that river is continually being dredged and we can handle those big, massive, awesome things. We can move those big things that we move in our life. It's not something you just sit back and, oh, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and hope it happens. Maybe we have a good service. It doesn't work that way. The river's still flowing. Things are still happening. Still saved, God still loves you, but what are you wanting to do? Are you wanting to move big mountains, or are you just wanting to kind of be the shallow river that just runs, a few things go through it? That's a decision we have to make. We have to make it every day. Every day. But God is a God. That's who.
One thing I've noticed, the deeper, the more I seek Him, and the more I look away from that natural realm that it's talking about and what reality looks like on the surface. And I say, yes, God, I want you more. Want you more. Want you more. The more of that love. It's like, Lord won't let me. It's like one day it was, you know, I'm battling a fence over here one day, and, you know, God, they hurt me, this hurts, and then press through, the dredging it out that you're talking about. It's like one day it was, it's like when you first get saved, you know. I mean, anybody know, when you first get saved, you just love everybody. Just love everybody. And then the enemy tries to harden your heart, you know, all through the years. But it's like we're back to, oh, I just love everybody. I mean, I just love you, man. I don't care, you know, if you like me or not. I just love you. And that's supernatural. I mean, that is just like something. That's part of that grudging it out, because the more we become like Him, the more we're going to love. He says, you'll be known by your love. We're going to be known. And that's another thing that I was going to get to. That great cloud of witnesses that it's talking about. You think what a cloud is. A cloud is all around us. I mean, there's a cloud of witnesses all around us. And yes, you know, I believe they're in the heavenlies. We've got witnesses up there. We've got witnesses, and they're cheering us on. I believe that. I really believe that. They're cheering us on. But, y'all, we've got these witnesses all around us, and they're looking. They're looking to see. They're dying to see something real. They need Jesus. They need to see Jesus, and they may be the one that's chapping your hide. They may be the one that's rubbing you wrong, but deep down, they're really wanting to see that what you claim you are is truth. They're wanting, it may come across in the wrong way, but they want to see real love. They want to see it, and they need to see it out of all of us. They need to see Jesus in us and how we respond and how we, everything that we do, how we respond to everything in this life is showing them something. We're showing them something. And I want to just be so full. I want to be so full of Him. That river is what they see. That river that brings life. Is what I want to ooze out of my pores. I want it to ooze out of my pores. And that's what that's His desire. That's His desire. He wants to work through His children. Did you have something? Look like dead, girl. I want to read one more thing and then hold this over. In Isaiah, I listened to Miss Robin sent me that Graham Cook podcast. On the insteads. I feel led to share that scripture in Isaiah 61. There are things that Jesus came and He has for us instead of. Okay? So there are insteads, and I can't bring it like Graham Cook, but I'm just going to read this and just pay attention and listen to what Jesus came to do. Listen to what He came to do. It says, the mighty Spirit of Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me as a messenger to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted and to tell the captives, you are free. Tell the captives, you are free. And to tell the prisoners, be free from your darkness. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on His enemies to comfort all who are in sorrow and to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, and the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness. This is what we're to be known. Mighty oaks of righteousness. Planted by the Lord. Planted by Yahweh. Did you know you are planted by Yahweh? The Lord has planted you. He has planted you. I'm not saying you're going to be in Blake House forever. That's not what I mean. But He has placed you. He has allowed you to be in this place for this time. He has allowed you. Out of all the places you could have gone, He has brought you here for this moment. This moment. He's saying, look to Him. Look to your Maker, because He loves you. He loves you. He came to save you. He came. He just wants you to know that. Nobody else in you. He has placed you. He has planted you. Shine. Shine. Planted by Yahweh is a living display of His glory. They will restore the ruins from long ago and build what was long devastated. They will renew cities and desolations of past generations. Foreigners will be appointed to shepherd your many flocks. Strangers will cultivate your fields and tend your vines. But you will be known as priests of Yahweh and called servants of God. He has given beauty. There's a trade-off of all these things that we were before. He came bring about life. He came to bring the opposite, the instead. He wants you to know that. He wants you to believe. He wants you to accept. He wants you to know that He is for you and not against you. End on that. Cindy, you want to play some music? The altar is open and the invitation is here. Pray, you come and pray. If you don't know Jesus, tonight's the night. Listen, listen, listen to His voice. And let Him come in. Let Him come in. He's knocking at your door. Let Him come in. So, and abide. The invitation is here.
Spoke so tender.